Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, The Cure for Leprosy. Matthew 8:1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. The location where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount is thought to have been not far from Capernaum. Great crowds followed Jesus down from the mountain where he had just given the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 8:2 continues, And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. In this context, a leper came. Note it says, And behold indeed. This was unthinkable. Lepers were supposed to be quarantined, and if anyone approached, they were to cry out, Unclean! Unclean! Presumably, as this leper approached Jesus, the crowds, with a and behold emphasis, practiced social distancing so as to ensure they would not make any contact with him. Leprosy was a terrible, life-wrecking disease for which there was no cure. It was terrible in terms of physical consequences as well as social consequences. No one would dare touch a leper, because it made you ceremonially unclean, not to mention it was highly contagious. Indeed, it was thought to be a sign of God's judgment on the person. To be a leper was to be an, quote-unquote, untouchable. Leprosy began with pain, but then extremities such as fingers and toes would become numb and eventually fall off. Lepers often emitted an unpleasant odor. Leprosy also affected the voice box, so the person had a raspy, hoarse voice. They looked, smelled, and sounded pitiful. You really don't want this kind of person interrupting your service. Unless, of course, you are Jesus. John MacArthur says, quote, Among the 61 defilements of ancient Judaism, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. The Talmud, a collection of Jewish teachings, forbade a Jew from coming closer than 6 feet to a leper. And if the wind was blowing, the limit was 150 feet. End of quote. Behold, this leper came worshiping Jesus and calling him Lord. Now, it is true that the word worship can simply mean bow down, and Lord can mean polite address in the sense of sir. However, the context argues for more than this. This leper believed Jesus had the power to cleanse him, which is to say heal him. In his mind, he was not merely a respectable sir. He was the Lord who had authority over this ailment. To approach Jesus for full healing indicated that he thought Jesus was someone special and unique. In the whole of the Old Testament, there are only 3 people on record as having been healed from leprosy. In each case, it was a direct act of God's healing. Exodus 4, 6, and 7, Moses' hand became leprous and then was instantly healed. In Numbers 12, 10 through 15, Miriam became leprous, and then God healed her. And in 2 Kings 5, 1 through 15, Naaman, the Syrian leper, was healed. That's it in the whole of the old recorded Old Testament history, and in each case, it was God who directly healed them. Holman Christian Study Bible. Quote, By kneeling before Jesus and addressing him as Lord, the Greek is kurios, the Greek translation of the Hebrew name Yahweh, the man recognized Jesus as far more than just a man. His confidence in Jesus' ability to heal his condition hints that his act of worship involved full recognition of Jesus' deity. Notice, he said to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't presume to know if Jesus would or not. He believed Christ had the power to do so, but yielded to Christ's prerogative on whether or not he would do so. It's a great lesson on faith. So many false teachers today say, if you just believe it will happen, they say, name it and claim it. This leper didn't do that. He named it, but he didn't claim it. He left it in the realm of possibility, not certainty. And he left it up to Jesus, which is right. Faith believes in the Lord's ability, but does not presume to say how God will act in any given situation. This is God's domain. Daniel 3:17-18, If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the gold image which you have set up. End of quote. Faith has confidence in God's ability, but leaves room for, but if not, God's ways are not our ways. He does not always work like we might want him to, or according to our thinking. God-honoring faith trusts in God's power, but does not know the outcome of how God might work in any given situation. Faith recognizes dependence upon God, but also realizes that how God deals with us is his prerogative. Thus, faith is humble before God, not trying to tell him what to do, which is flat-out blasphemous arrogance. Costi Hinn, the converted nephew of Benny Hinn, has written a book titled God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel. In the book he writes, quote, "By an early age, as part of the Hinn family, I view Jesus Christ as our magic genie. Rub him right, and he'll give you whatever your heart desires. The prosperity gospel certainly denies the sovereignty of God to the extent that it demeans God to the position of a puppet and elevates the man to the position of a puppet master who makes confessional demands by faith. It does this by considering faith as a force and God as the one who must respond to our faith." That is exactly what the leper did not do. He made no demands. He did not try to manipulate Jesus. Rather, he humbly recognized Jesus' sovereign authority and power, but yielded to his will. In effect, he made a humble plea that recognized Jesus' sovereign prerogative in the matter. This so-called faith healers, the so-called faith healers, could learn a lot from this leper. His example serves as a corrective to a lot of errant theology. Matthew 8:3 continues, "Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." We could almost put another behold here. This is amazing. The law of Moses forbade touching anything unclean, but Jesus was above the law. The law said that if you touched anything unclean, you would be made unclean, but not Jesus. When he touched a leper, instead of being made unclean, he made the leper clean. His cleanness overcame the uncleanness, which is something only God can do. This shows the supreme authority of Jesus over the worst of diseases. Notice Jesus took the initiative here, putting his hand out and touching him. He could have just said the word, as we see in his next miracle, but instead he purposely reached out and touched the leper. This man had probably not been purposely touched in years, but Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And shockingly, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. There was no long drawn-out process, no request for money, no circus show, just a simple touch and comment, "be cleansed," and it was done. Footnote: the Jews believed there were four physical ailments that could only be corrected by God himself. It was thought that when God would send the Messiah, he would perform four unique miracles that no other man could perform. They are known as the four messianic miracles. And they are, number one, cleansing a leper. Number two, casting out a deaf and dumb spirit. Number three, the healing of birth defects. And number four, raising the dead after 3 days. The Jews thought that leprosy was inflicted by God himself and that only God could remove it. Therefore, leprosy was called the finger of God. This background shows all the more that this leper must have recognized Jesus as Lord God, or at the very least, that the power of God was working through him in a very special way, as God would work through the Messiah. Matthew 8:4, "And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Why did Jesus tell this man who had the greatest news in his whole life to tell no one? Commentators grapple with understanding the reason for this prohibition. Probably the best explanation is the one given by Jesus right here in the text, even though we might not understand it completely. Jesus specifically said, "Go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Christ wanted this miracle to be a special, unvarnished testimony to the priests at the temple. He evidently wanted it verified before them, before they got a whole lot of secondary information from all kinds of sources. This would have involved quite a process. The man would have to travel all the way down to Jerusalem from up north in Galilee. He would have to carry out the detailed process of ceremonial cleansing rituals, as stated in Leviticus 13 and 14, involving 116 verses of Scripture. The process would take 8 days, so a lot was involved here. But alas, according to Mark 1:45, the healed leper failed to obey. Mark 1:45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Seems that in some ways the leper spreading his story did hinder Christ's urban ministry. The crowds were so overwhelming that he couldn't function in that context, and so he had to go out into the deserted places. Scripture reveals no indication of punishment for the cleansed leper's disobedience, but presumably he eventually made it to the temple. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.